Welcome to the longest running real estate talk show in the North Bay, the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly and Allison Norman. The Kelly Norman team. Mike and Allison are here every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for, and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Mike and Allison. Now, the Kelly Norman team. Mike Kelly and Allison Norman on News Talk 1350 KSRO.
Good morning, Sonoma County. Mike Kelly, it is the Real Estate Hour, heard every Sunday morning right here on the News and Talk at 1350 KSRO, 103.5 FM, KSRO.com. And we're not doing Facebook today because Allison was out of town and we just didn't get our act together to, get the tripod and the camera and all that kind of stuff. So we will not be on Facebook. So I know you Facebook people are just going, oh, darn.
Oh, so you have to tune in. KSRO.com if you can't sit in front of your radio.
You got it.
You put it on your phone and walk around with us.
And that is the voice of Allison Norman, and you were in lost wages last week.
And I didn't lose any wage. I actually didn't gamble.
Did you gamble at all?
I not one little bit. I didn't.
Put some money down on 21 or something like that? Or
no.
The big wheel?
I did go to one event where it was kind of free gambling. They said, here's some chips, play 21. So that was, I don't know, it was fun because I wasn't losing or winning any money. Sure. But no, I was there for our Keller Williams, what we call family reunion, which is a big convention. I think there was about 20,000 people there, so there were a lot of us. And gosh, I did a lot of walking because we were at Mandalay Bay, and there's the new convention center. And I stayed at Luxor, and you walk. It must have been a mile or two. Everybody with Fitbits were logging 20,000 steps a day. I don't have my Fitbit, so I don't know. But no, a lot of education, ongoing training, real estate, but then a lot of kind of cultural. Keller Williams is a really big culture-based company.
Gotcha.
And a lot of talk about, earning money to give back and having that as kind of their philosophy is kind of helping us to succeed so that we can give back to the community. And they do a lot of KW Cares fundraiser. And there's always the morning inspirational breakfast with
Mo Anderson. Yeah, that's a great program.
Yeah, where they donate to certain people that are doing amazing things. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it was a really good week. And also I do a lot of networking there. We know, agents across the country and around the world now, because Keller Williams is worldwide, to where if you're going to move, say you want to move to Florida or you want to move to
Costa Rica,
London, or you want to move to Jamaica, there's a new office in Jamaica. We know agents in those areas and we can help connect you. So you're not just out there kind of, in a sea of agents. You've got somebody that we've already vetted for you or know personally, then know they're going to
do it. Yeah, because in those areas, you don't need a license, guys. You don't need to go to the state.
No.
In Costa Rica, you walk down there, boom, in London. An estate agent is, hey, you're an estate agent. So
Yes. That's
pretty much it.
Yeah.
So it's good to have people that are vetted, that are licensed here in the U.S. and are now working abroad. So
right. I talked to an agent from Poland, and she's part of the new Poland, which they introduced this week at Family Reunion. There's the new Poland, Keller Williams. And she was talking about that exact thing, is kind of getting that mindset of having an agent that represents you rather than just, individual. They don't have an MLS. They don't have,
it's all the
individual agents. So
we are so advanced here in the U.S.
It's really interesting. So,
yeah, we also have a guest this morning.
Do
you care to introduce our guest?
Absolutely. We have David Guin here from the city of Santa Rosa and Director of Planning and Economic Development. We'll give you his full bio, but after we talk a little bit about real estate. But good morning, David. And we are going to be talking about the state passed a law saying we need to do something to loosen the restrictions on second dwellings.
Correct.
Units, which they're now calling
accessory dwelling units.
Okay. Right. So when you hear accessory dwelling, it's granny unit, in-law unit, second unit. But we're going to talk about that, a little bit about maybe the new cannabis rules that we're working on as far as commercial setups and growing. And all that good. So the state has said now cities, now that we've passed this law, cities, you need to do something about it to pass your own rules, correct?
Correct. Yeah, the state recognizes that statewide we have a housing crisis. And so they're looking for ways to encourage more units to be built. And so they're looking at these second units, which now they're calling accessory dwelling units. Right. And what that does is it gives rules for all the entire, every city and every state mm-hmm. in the state to follow. But it also gives local jurisdictions the ability to fine tune those rules. So we can modify them and we can make them more aggressive. We can pull back on certain things. And so that's where we are at this point, is looking at what the state is allowing us to do and what do we want to do locally, and get that feedback from people to see what are the barriers, what are the issues, and what can we do to help facilitate the development of these type of units.
Super. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. So we also have the junior accessory unit, right?
Right. That's something we're going to be adding as well, which we don't have right now. So we'll add the junior accessory dwellings, and we can talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
What the difference between that and accessory dwellings.
We'll dive in a little deeper to that when we come back. But first, let's talk about real estate for a minute.
Let's tell how people can get a hold of us.
Well, you can give us a call here on the show, 707-636-1350. That's 707-636-1350. Or email us at nodumbquestion@gmail.com.
Because in real estate, there are no dumb questions.
nodumbquestion@gmail.com. It's a great way to get a hold of us during the show or throughout the week. And we do answer a lot of questions. We get a lot of inquiries on that email.
A lot of inquiries. The rates right now are still looking, you know, pretty darn good. I mean, relative to when I got in the business, when they were 18.5% to 20%. So right now they're about, 4.25%?
They're, 30-year fixed rate, right around 4.25%. FHA also 4.25%. 30-year fixed VA is still under 4% at 3.875. And VA is a great loan if you qualify. If it's a super competitive property or market, it's tough to get a VA loan accepted. That's why you need to work with us, because we're good at that. we actually have done quite a bit of VA this year, and I love working with VA buyers. So if you're jumbo, which they just raised it up to like 636 now, I think, then you can get a little bit lower interest rate, but not much. It's 4.125. And then if you get into like the 7-1 ARMs, you know, adjustable mortgages, you can get under 4%. But for the most part, we're about 4.25%.
Looking good.
Yeah,
rates are good. So we also have a open house extravaganza, or at least we have some open houses open. the inventory is still way, way, way down. We were talking to David about vacancy rates. And when you look at probably from the standpoint of rentals, I mean, the vacancy rate's got to be maybe 2.5-3% or something. It's just
it's tough with rentals.
And then with single family houses, I mean, it's down to about what?
We have four. We're up a little bit from last time. We're 496 active.
Ooh,
so we were, I think, 450, 460 last time I looked at, which was a week or two ago.
Oh, okay. We actually have a caller who has a very timely question. So let's go to Chris in Sebastopol. Chris, good morning.
Hello, Mike.
How you doing?
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Good. You have a question regarding second unit.
I do. I have a property in Sebastopol off of Lone Pine that I bought last year. It's 1 acre, and it was upgraded in 2004. Septic was upgraded. And my question is, what would be the possibilities in the future for one of these junior units or a second unit on this property of mine, since
so
it is my primary residence?
That's a county overlay. That's not in the city of Sebastopol. So,
no, it's outside the city limits.
Right. So you want to venture on that, David? Did the county have any? I know the county usually has 2 acre minimum to do a unit, but then they drop it down to 1.5 if it's attached or something.
Right. Yeah. They fell under the same situation. So the state did have rules overlaid on the county land. They did just recently, I believe about 2 weeks ago, approve a local second unit accessory dwelling unit policy, where they fine-tuned that policy. So I unfortunately don't have that with me, the county's version.
Yeah, that would be
But it is online on the PRMD's website if you do check out their site. But they are allowing second units with certain rules and restrictions. But again, the goal here is to try to loosen the restrictions a little bit to try to allow more of these type of units, things like parking, the size of the unit, the cost, and the setbacks.
Right.
So I would encourage you to check out the PRMD's website if you're in the county, to see what what they voted on, what the Board of Supervisors approved a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Chris, you need to do that because you're on 1 acre and you're also on septic. And that's going to be the critical thing there. If you were 1 acre and you were on city services, it might be a lot different than if you're on septic. So the what David was referring to was the, now it's called Permit Sonoma. I think if you still just Google PRMD, you'll find it. And then you can go and check out just how it applies to your property.
Yeah, it does always, that septic thing, you know, it's always going to be depending on what your septic system will allow. So that's always the big factor. But like David said, they have loosened some restrictions based on the California
legislature. Yeah, sometimes you can sacrifice a bedroom in the house for a unit outside, but you got to check with the acreage just make sure it meets it. I think the absolute minimum they're doing now is 1.5 acres. So check it out.
Okay.
And we'll probably have somebody here from the county to talk about this also in the future.
Okay, I'll go on PRMD website and see what the size is.
All right, Chris. Perfect. Yeah, and let us know how it goes with that, too, okay? We appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have an open house today, and we're going to – let's just go ahead, Joe. Let's take a break, then we'll come back, and we'll return with the Real Estate Hour. Call the numbers are 636-1350. We'll be back with our guest when we return right after these words.
Golden State Warriors play-by-play on KSRO is brought to you by Hansel BMW.
There are over 172,000 licensed real estate agents in California. 172,000 possible outcomes when it's time to sell your home. If you want to sell your home faster, for more money, with less hassle, call Mike Kelly and Allison Norman.
I've been selling homes full-time in Sonoma County since 1978. Allison and I will build a strategic marketing plan to help you sell your home so you can list it, sell it, and get on with your life.
We know how to position your home for maximum appeal, when to launch the campaign, and how to use every tool in the arsenal, online, offline, on the air, and in the air.
With drones.
To put your property in front of people who are ready to buy.
Show us your home and we'll show you 3 quick and easy tips to make your home look better to buyers, even if you don't use us.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. Call Mike Kelly and Allison Norman, the Kelly Norman Team. Don't forget to listen to Mike and Allison on the Real Estate Hour, Sundays, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on KSRO.
Hi, I'm Steve Garner. Join KSRO Live at the 125th Annual Cloverdale Citrus Fair this Saturday, February 18th, for this historic event. Gwen Kilcher and I will welcome citrus guru Ed Libo from Four Winds Growers, who will be giving away beautiful citrus trees to our Garden Talk listeners. Then it's Chef John Ash on the Good Food Hour with mouth-watering recipe ideas featuring, you guessed it, citrus. It's all this coming President's Day weekend, KSRO at the Cloverdale Citrus Fair. Join us.
Listen each Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to noon for Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Garden Talk is hosted by Steve Garner and Gwen Kilcher, who welcome your gardening questions each week. And Good Food Hour is hosted by Chef John Ash and Steve Garner, with delicious insight into cooking, eating, and enjoying good food. It's Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour, Saturday mornings on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly and Allison Norman, the Kelly Norman Team. Now, here's more with Mike and Allison on News Talk 1350 KSRO.
Good morning once again, Mike Kelly. It is the Real Estate Hour. We are live every Sunday, sometimes every Sunday. We took we had some tape shows during the holidays, which was kind of nice.
We were preempted by the Warriors.
The Warriors,
one time,
yes, at a 9 o'clock game.
That's the first time that's ever happened.
So before we get to our guests, just want to mention that we have an open house today. I have a property over on 1738 St. Anthony Way. This is a pretty. I had 80 people through last week on this property.
Wow.
Single level house, and I was telling our guest David that we had either like 40, 60-year-olds bringing their kids to show them to buy this house, or we had the kids bringing mom and dad who are older, like in their maybe 70s, that, no, you need to buy this house because it's single level, mom and dad. So it's the interesting thing. We were talking about the dynamics of the downtown area and about who wants the product down there.
Right.
And we find out we had this clash of the generations because the people like me, the boomers, or going to the kids saying, no, I want to buy that. You know, and we've actually had a story, I think, last year where the parents loan money to their kids to buy a house, and it turns out they both were bidding on the same property. So it's that kind of strange stuff. But we're going to have a whole bunch of stuff open today. The price on the property on St. Anthony is $519. Come by and see me. I'll be there 1 to 4 o'clock, and hopefully it won't rain too bad for us.
No. And so the open home guide is in the Press Democrat. And what page is that?
It is. It's page R11.
R11 of the Open Home Guide.
So Allison is going to introduce our guest.
Yeah, so we're happy to have David Guin here as the Director of Planning and Economic Development for the City of Santa Rosa. And Mr. Guin has over 17 years of experience in the public sector, most of which has been in the City of Santa Rosa's Water Department. In July 2015, he was asked to lead the former Community Development Department through a series of strategic changes. Get ready for a really long sentence here. His first task were to tackle the organizational changes that would create the new and revitalized Planning and Economic Development Department, and to engage staff in visioning, developing, and implementing a comprehensive process improvement action plan aimed at positively altering the experience of doing business with and for the City of Santa Rosa. So your areas of responsibility include planning, engineering, building, and economic development functions for the City of Santa Rosa. And and it has to do with the guided development of housing action plan, leading the development of City of Santa Rosa's comprehensive policy on medical cannabis as well. And you are recently recent community involvement includes being the past president of the Redwood Empire Food Bank, which we were talking about. It's a wow, the changes there are, it's an amazing facility if you haven't been there. And the co-chair of the Amgen Tour of California local organizing committee, and has helped bring the Ironman to Santa Rosa for the next 5 years, which I was just discussing with someone that's coming from out of town for the Ironman. They were excited about it. So congratulations for all of that stuff you've done. We're glad for everything you've done for the city. I'm glad to have you today.
Well, thanks. Glad to be here.
Yeah, you were kind of like hitting all the hot subjects. Water.
Right.
Okay. And making the city more, receptive to hopefully folks who want to build homes. And then now you have marijuana on your plate,
cannabis,
too.
Yeah.
So holy toe.
All that stuff. So today we're going to focus on the second unit, and we may touch a little bit on the cannabis because that's a hot subject.
Hard
too.
Not to. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody wants to know what's going on with marijuana.
Yeah. You see where Fetzer was just bought by.
That's right. Yeah.
I saw that. Wow. Yeah.
$3.2 million.
Winery.
So explain to us just exactly. Now we're here. We're talking about, and the reason this came about, obviously, because we're in a big issue when it comes to housing and affordable housing for the city. We have rent control on the ballot June 6th, which is going to be kind of interesting to see how that plays out. But even if it goes through, we still have a need for housing. And one of the things we were looking at, you have this great 2006 year-end housing update, and we were talking about it. It looks kind of like a bottleneck because you start like there's 2,500 units that are sitting there in the process. And a lot of that is the stuff from the recession, David, people don't realize how big this recession was and how really it is still with us.
Right.
And our bottom really in our county was back in 2009 when our prices dropped, and then they've come back tremendously. But when you look at this, you're looking at, housing units, 2,249 housing units nearing completion in the planning engineering. A lot of these things have been sitting there for a long time.
Yeah, 10, 11 years.
Yeah.
They were getting ready to go, and then the market fell out.
Well, then they paid too much for them, and now they're trying to figure out, how do I make this work?
Right.
And I know you guys were trying to offer density bonuses, so get those units up so you can sell them. But we had Tennis Wick on the show from the county, and he was saying the same thing. They've got units out the county, but what are you going to do with them? Either they're underwater or they're just really hard to develop. You have 685 housing units in the building permit phase, and then we only have 296 that are actually approved. So that there's a heck of a whittle down process there.
Right. Yeah. And you hit it on the head. What we're seeing is all these units that were planned and planned to be developed in the pre-recession went dormant. They sat there, and so people are reviving those, bringing those back to life, and essentially what they're realizing is they have to change some of those projects. It's not the same stock that people are looking for these days. People are looking for a little bit of different type of unit from 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. There's different rules and effects, so different water quality rules in place. There's new building codes in place, so people are having to revamp those.
Yeah.
And so what we're seeing is a lot of activity in the planning and engineering phase to get those ready to move forward. But we are seeing a wave of housing come at us, and which is good. We do have a goal in the city of reaching about 1,000 units a year. That's a 5,000 units over the next 6 years. And it is ambitious, and I think it's something that we need to aim for to try to address this housing crisis that we're in. And so what we're trying to do is figure out how to move these forward. What kind of policies do we need to have in place to reduce barriers to try to construct homes, but also keep in mind the impact to the community, impact to the environment, and how do we meld those two together? Mm-hmm. So this accessory dwelling unit policy is a good example of that on how we take a policy to help reduce barriers, but it's important to get public feedback because some of these items in these policies have a direct impact to the community that those units reside in.
Right. And we were talking a little during the break that you're basically looking for public feedback,
right.
getting a nice, neat package that then you could take to the planning and say, yes, we vetted this with the community. This seems to, you know, be what people want. So, and I think, I think adding the accessory dwelling units is a good thing for people. However, that some neighborhoods are going, well, hang on, I don't want it to get that dense. Is that kind of what you're seeing?
Exactly. Yeah, we have there's a lot of interest. We actually held a public meeting about, I think, a week or two ago, and we expected maybe 30, 40 people to show up. We had over 140 people show up to the meeting. It was great. It was a great turnout. It was good to see that engagement from the community to come out and talk about it. And a lot of people were interested in how can they do what accessory dwelling units, second units, and to give us their feedback on what's holding them back. And we found that it's really three things. It's the size of the unit. What size can they put on their lot? The cost of actually doing that. What are the fees for the water and sewer connection fees?
Right.
And the parking. So parking's a big one, and you alluded to that. That's probably the most impactful in a community. When people put more units in a community, you see an impact of parking. And so that's a discussion we're having with the community about what that means. Mm-hmm. So those three things we're trying to address in this policy, and we can kind of go through them if we can talk about it. So I think maybe first step is just what is an accessory dwelling unit? And really it's an attached or detached residential dwelling unit where there's already a single family home. So that's the basic premise of a second unit.
Right.
And that second unit has to provide a complete independent living facility for sleeping, cooking, bathing, sanitation. So it's its own separate unit. Now there's three different types of these units. There's detached from the single unit, so you can have a standalone house on your property behind your house. You can convert part of your existing home into a second unit, so basically have one structure on your property converted into two different houses. And then the one we see a lot and get a lot of feedback on is conversion of your garage. So if you have an existing garage on your property, converting that into a second unit. And that's something that, I was in the market for a house recently and I saw quite a few of those.
A lot of that. And it's usually, this is not really a second unit.
So there's a way to do it now. And there's
to legally
So when you get to the square footage, though, say a freestanding unit is how big? Is that 1,200 square feet or is that 800 square feet?
So that's a good question. So the policy before all this happened last year, the city allowed units up to 600 feet.
Right.
The state came in and said that we need to try something different. We need to push the envelope a little bit, essentially, to encourage these type of units. So they increased that size to 1,200 square feet. So right now on the books is if a local jurisdiction does not have a local policy in place, it defaults to the 1,200 square foot. So that's what's in place right now in the city of Santa Rosa.
That's the interim guidelines.
So that size doubled. What we're asking from the public is that the size that we want? Do we want to lower that? Do we want to encourage smaller units for the concept being that the smaller unit is more affordable by design because it's a smaller footprint, so you start to address some of the affordability needs in the city.
Yeah.
So that's a discussion we're having. We're getting feedback on that. And I think at the public meeting, there was more interest in having the ability to go larger. To 1,200. So that's something we're looking for information on. How big do you want to go? The other interesting thing is parking. So parking comes up a lot, and the rules differ slightly for new or internal conversions and conversions to a garage. But one of the interesting things with the state law is that is if you do a new detached second unit on your property, a parking space is required, but there is an exception. And the exceptions are if it's within a half mile of transit or one block from a car share vehicle, or it's in a historic preservation district, then you're exempt from all parking, additional parking. So that adds a whole different, that adds some flexibility to people that are trying to do these units. And it takes out a potential big barrier for people. Right. But what that does mean for the community is that there's potentially put more parking on the street.
Well, we're going to come back with David and chat about this also. And I want to talk about just what, if we build a separate unit, do we have to pay a separate sewer hookup, water hookups, or is that what the whole city was designed not to make penalize people for those huge fees? So we'll come back. We are in-house. We're in the studio with Dave Gouin from the city of Santa Rosa. Talk about accessory units. We'll be right back after the news.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Pastor McCall, and this is the home of Golden State Warriors, play-by-play, 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
Denying that Trump campaign aides had contact with Russian officials before the election, as a New York Times story says, White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus.
I've been approved to say this, that the top levels of the intelligence community have assured me that that story is not only inaccurate, but it's grossly overstated, and it was wrong, and there's nothing to it.
Priebus on Fox News Sunday fired a senior administration official after criticizing President Trump's policies towards Mexico during a private speech at a Washington think tank last Friday. Craig Deere, head of the National Security Council's Western Hemisphere Division. Major offensive to defeat ISIS in the western part of Mosul, Iraq's second largest city, is underway as of hours ago, says Defense Secretary James Mattis, saying U.S. forces are supporting Iraqi troops. A SpaceX rocket has roared into space from NASA's historic Moonshot pad, carrying a delivery of supplies for the International Space Station. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
There are over 172,000 licensed real estate agents in California. 172,000 possible outcomes when it's time to sell your home. If you want to sell your home faster, for more money, with less hassle, call Mike Kelly and Allison Norman.
I've been selling homes full-time in Sonoma County since 1978. Allison and I will build a strategic marketing plan to help you sell your home so you can list it, sell it, and get on with your life.
We know how to position your home for maximum appeal, when to launch the campaign, and how to use every tool in the arsenal, online, offline, on the air, and in the air.
With drones.
To put your property in front of people who are ready to buy.
Show us your home and we'll show you three quick and easy tips to make your home look better to buyers, even if you don't use us.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. Call Mike Kelly and Allison Norman, the Kelly Norman Team. Don't forget to listen to Mike and Allison on the Real Estate Hour, Sundays, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on KSRO.
Overcast with rain today, high 57 inland and on the coast. A bit heavy rain tonight, low 54, 55 on the shores. More rain for Monday, heavy at times at 60 degrees, 63 in Bodega Bay. Few showers for Tuesday at 58, 59 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly and Allison Norman, the Kelly Norman Team. Now, here's more with Mike and Allison on News Talk 1350 KSRO.
Good morning. We're back. It's the Real Estate Hour. Heard every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. here on the News and Talk of Sonoma County, 1350 a.m.
Follow us on Facebook at...
So I was in the middle. 1350 AM, 103.5 FM, and streaming live at KSRO.com. You can follow us on Facebook at The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly and Allison Norman. You can also find our blog at TheRealEstateHourBlog.com. We've got some information I posted on both the Facebook page and the blog that has information and about David Gouin, our guest, who's the Director of Planning and Economic Development for the City of Santa Rosa. So what we're talking about today, you can get some of the information by going to our blog. You can also go to the City of Santa Rosa, what is it, srcity.com?
org.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So srcity.org. And you know, there's so many Santa Rosas around the country. I always have to say City of Santa Rosa or Santa Rosa, California, or else you end up in Florida or somewhere.
Right. There's one in Florida.
Yeah, so Santa Rosa County. So welcome, David Ewan, Director of Planning and Economic Development at City of Santa Rosa. So we're talking today specifically about City of Santa Rosa. Mm-hmm. The state passed an auxiliary dwelling unit, which is the second unit, rule or law legislature. Mm-hmm. And then now each city and municipality needs to come in and set their own rules. So you're doing some gathering of information mm-hmm. from the public to put before the council or the planning and then the council. And before we left for break, we were talking about some of the, you know, garages, parking, some of the issues and some of the things you're working on. So mm-hmm. you want to kind of take off where you left?
Sure. Yeah. I think maybe the parking, we'll continue on that real quick, because that is a common question.
Yeah.
And we were just talking at the
right.
break.
Right. Well, it was my understanding, and I think it's still a rule, that the City of Santa Rosa requires you to have covered parking, either right. a garage or a carport.
Correct.
So how yeah. does that happen if you convert your garage?
Right. So that any new development requires covered parking, as you mentioned. And what these rules do is basically say that if you do a new second unit, you only have to provide one space, and that can be in tandem on your property or in your existing driveway. It does not have to be covered.
Okay.
So that's
nice.
the new rule. And it there are also the exceptions that I mentioned before. If you're within a half mile of transit or car share, that you're exempt from parking, so you don't have to add that additional space.
Okay.
So the parking restrictions have been reduced to try to free up that barrier, because that is a really big barrier.
Yeah.
If you add a new unit to find a new covered space, or if you convert your garage, how to find that covered space?
So how do you define ride sharing? Because I could call up Uber and I've got a ride share, I think.
Right. I think these are meant for the car shares, like on the names of them, but where you can go and take the car.
Oh, okay.
So
you can walk to there
walk
from
to
me.
And
okay.
Use that
I didn't
car.
Know we had any around, so that's cool.
Yeah. And that's something we're looking at now with the train coming. We're looking at more ride share type of opportunities within
Great.
Santa Rosa. But, you know, the transit system is fairly robust here in Santa Rosa. So I think that's something, too, that people are going to be looking at. So for new units, new detached or attached second units, those are the parking rules. If you have a garage, same rules apply if you're converting your garage. If you're converting an internal part of your existing house, you don't have to provide any new parking. You don't even have to worry about the exemption. So
So
we do have guidance on our website that walks through some of the bullets of these issues. But these are the type of components that we want to get feedback on. So are those parking, if we approach it this way, does that alleviate some of the concerns about parking and the barriers to doing these second units? And the other one was, I think we talked about, was fees. So
that's
the question that comes
fees
up.
Fees and then setbacks, the two things I want to talk about. Fees, okay. And so we'll cover touch on both of those.
If you have a separate unit on the property, then you're going to probably get into the permit fees, permit fees, but also sewer and water. Now, what does that normally cost someone to do that? So if I added an extra unit onto my property, what am I looking in the way of city and water?
Yeah, so the
city and sewer, excuse me.
The big fees that people talk about most of the time are water and sewer fees, the connection fees to the water and sewer system, and those are the demand fees, the ability to connect. Mm-hmm. Those are in the range of about, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but they're in the $7,000 to $8,000 for a connection. That information is on our website. We can get that for you. But also, with that said, for new units, if you're building a new structure on your property, currently the way that the law stands is that you do have to pay for a new connection fee for that unit. There are two exceptions. If you're converting a part of your existing home into a second unit, mm-hmm. then you're exempt from those fees. You do not have to pay those water and sewer fees. If you're converting your garage to a second unit, you do not have to pay those water and sewer fees, additional fees. And this is one where we definitely want feedback on, because we're hearing, again, is probably one of the number one barriers is cost.
Yeah.
To build a new unit plus pay these fees, it makes it pretty prohibitive for most people to be able to do. Okay. And so that's the feedback we need to hear. What type of, where should those fees be, and how should we address those fees? And that's something we'll take to the Planning Commission, the City Council, and ultimately it'll be a policy decision.
Sure.
There's
a lot of alternative, I want to call them structures, but we see a lot of these, you know, little instant granny units that you can roll
tiny,
up on a trailer.
Tiny homes.
Tiny homes, this kind of thing. Yeah. How are those being looked at as far as the second unit is concerned?
Yeah, so these second units are units that have a foundation, so they are they follow all the fire codes, building codes, like just another unit. What we're not talking about is rolling up a house on wheels and basically parking it in someone's backyard.
Right.
That's not the intent of this ordinance. Where the intent of this is to find housing and build appropriate housing for people to live in, that need housing within the city of Santa Rosa.
Okay, but maybe a tiny home or like a modular home on a permanent foundation, that would...
Correct, yeah. That, yeah, as long as it's on a foundation.
Right, so not you can't roll a mobile home up in there.
So let's talk use. Okay, now a lot of people, as we well know, Airbnb, you know, that you can make a bunch of money. You're in a wine country. If you have a very nice home in a very nice area, and you have a very attractive little unit. Now, a lot of people, what they were doing is that they've already have an existing, say, unit they put on their property years ago, and it may not have been done with permits, but they're living there, and then they're renting out their house, Airbnb. Mm-hmm. Now, so is the use here, is this going to be allowed, David, or is that strictly like taboo? You can only use it for either rental long-term, which I assume would be what?
30 days.
Or 30 days or more, okay, you tell me. So how are you going to deal with that?
So one of the rules that are in place right now is that if you have a second unit on your property, you must live in one of those units. And that, we've heard, is a problem for some people. And so what we've what we're proposing in here is to get rid of that deed restriction requirement.
Interesting.
So that is a big question. So the proposal is that you can rent out both. And the intent is that that's adding to the rentable and
rentable
stock.
But long-term rentals, not short-term.
Yeah, the intent is for long-term rentals on these properties. Obviously, managing and tracking all the uses of Airbnb and other thing, it's very difficult for a
city. How is the city, is there an ordinance regarding vacation rentals in Santa Rosa right now?
No, we do not.
Yeah, one of the few.
Don't.
Come on down to Santa Rosa.
Well, we see it. We've looked at it, and it hasn't been the I guess, in short of other words, crisis that some people feel it is in terms of their housing stock. And so we've kept tabs on it. We're looking at it. We are working with our finance department to ensure that they are paying the appropriate taxes when those are done. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we're working with people that are using Airbnb. But for now, we don't have a policy on that.
And so if somebody's building an extra unit on their property, you're not saying you can't use this as a temporary housing?
We're not saying that. And I think what we're saying by removing the deed restriction is that we do understand that a lot of these units are for supplemental income. It's for people that are looking
investors.
For retirement. What's their plan for, as they move out of their job, what's their long-term goal, and also to provide housing, as you mentioned earlier, to kids and others, the people in their family. So we don't want to provide that type of hard line on how that unit's used.
That's
what
good.
We do is want to provide more stock, more housing stock for the community. And as I mentioned, this is a big one by removing that deed restriction that frees up both units on that property for potential rental. And again, that's a community impact that we want to hear from the community about. Is that something that the community is looking for? Is that okay?
Yeah.
And when we first came up with these policies, there was a big pushback to require the deed restrictions. So there was eyes on the ground that people lived in the community and saw what was happening in the neighborhood. And so we want to hear what that means for people in the residential neighborhoods. Is that something?
Yeah, because we deal with a lot of folks that want to age in place. They want to stay in their home or they want to stay on their property.
Mm-hmm.
And having an extra unit in the back, a lot of have old pool houses, which they've converted, done a nice job. And I have a friend of mine right now who has a large lot, and she's done the same thing. She's renting out the front to her son and his daughter, and it's a great income source for her
because
she owns the property free and clear.
That's great.
So that's good that you will allow that, because a lot of people, that has a lot to do. They provide, additional rental space by doing that, and then they can stay on their property.
Right.
And maybe get a caregiver in the booth.
Yeah.
Now, you also have the smaller, the junior units, which I take are units built within a existing, say, floor plan of a unit of a house.
Yeah, so that's a junior accessory dwelling unit called, and they're 500 square foot efficiency units, and they're created within the existing single-family house. And so that's something we're going to be adding to this policy and providing guidance for that. And they do have different rules because they are much, much smaller than your typical living
environment. Yeah. Now, do they have to have a separate, like separately metered, separately hook up to water, all that stuff, or is that kind of... It's just part of your house that you've sectioned off as an additional unit.
Right. That's the intent, is to section it off in the unit.
Add a kitchen and a bathroom.
Right. Or a kitchenette or something. So that it could be its own bathroom, but with a junior accessory dwelling unit, you could have a shared bathroom situation as well. So they have slightly different rules because of their size. Mm-hmm. So the use of a kitchenette, a potential shared bathroom or their own bathroom, and then even an exit out. A separate exit out,
right.
or an entrance into the main house. So those are rules that we've included in this policy. And again, we have a draft up on our website right now. That if you want to see some of the specifics about how that's written and what type of rules and opportunities there are in there.
Great. And again, that's srcity.org. And then I know when you go into the City of Santa Rosa website, you got to kind of look a little bit. Is there like a backslash or forward slash something? Is there a place they should click on to look?
Yeah, the best site to go to that has all the information about housing, including this and all of our other efforts, is srcity.org/housing-action-plan.
Okay.
So all one word. And if you go to that website, it has our annual housing report that shows the numbers of housing stock, where we are. It shows our housing action plan, so how we're going to deal with this over the next 5, 6, 7 years. And then it's got information about all these policies that we're working on. We're working on this accessory dwelling unit policy. In addition, we have coming up over the next few months a density bonus policy and other policies for sale, inclusionary housing. So there's a lot of stuff that the city is working on to try to address the housing need.
Sure.
But it's going to take all of us. It's going to take the community. It's going to take development. It's going to take the policy makers.
Yeah, you've got some big projects coming up too. You've got the community hospital, which is going to be dropped in your lap.
Yep. Yep.
County says, okay, build it.
Here's one more thing.
Work on that sucker.
We do have I have a link to that section of srcity.org on our Facebook page, The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly and Allison Norman, and also on the realestatehourblog.com. So you can go in there, look at the article, and click on the links with the interim, the policy that's in place until you figure it out. And then we're going to take a break and we'll come back. But I want to find out, you're asking for public information. Great. Do you have some meetings coming up? So we'll talk about that when we come back. Stay tuned.
Great. Good. Right back after these words.
I'm Laura Ingram, weekday mornings, 9 till noon on KSRO.
There are over 172,000 licensed real estate agents in California, 172,000 possible outcomes when it's time to sell your home. If you want to sell your home faster, for more money, with less hassle, call Mike Kelly and Allison Norman.
I've been selling homes full-time in Sonoma County since 1978. Allison and I will build a strategic marketing plan to help you sell your home so you can list it, sell it, and get on with your life.
We know how to position your home for maximum appeal, when to launch the campaign, and how to use every tool in the arsenal, online, offline, on the air, and in the air.
With drones.
To put your property in front of people who are ready to buy.
Show us your home and we'll show you 3 quick and easy tips to make your home look better to buyers, even if you don't use us.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. Call Mike Kelly and Allison Norman, the Kelly Norman Team. Don't forget to listen to Mike and Allison on the Real Estate Hour, Sundays, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on KSRO.
Tune in to Travel Tuesdays from noon to 12:30 each week and discover where you can take your next bucket list vacation. Travel expert Elise Corey, owner of TravelWise, the only virtuoso travel agency in Sonoma County, puts her nearly 30 years' experience in the travel industry to work for you as she guides you around the globe and across the seas. Listen to her shows when you want to at KSRO.com. Just click on Travel Tuesdays and choose your podcast. That's KSRO.com. If you want to take your career in a new direction or engage more in your current job, listen to Career Conversations Fridays at noon on KSRO, hosted by 2 entrepreneurial women who have done this and more and now want to help you reach your goals. Nicole Smart is the co-owner of Star Staffing, and Sarah Scudder is a sales executive at The Sourcing Group. Brought to you by the Sonoma County Economic Development Board and the Workforce Investment Board, here to help your Sonoma County business. Career Conversations, Fridays at noon on KSRO.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly and Allison Norman, the Kelly Norman team. Now, here's more with Mike and Allison on News Talk 1350 KSRO.
Good morning. We are back. Mike Kelly is the Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. Our special guest today
is David.
Go ahead.
Sorry, David Kuhn, Director of Planning and Economic Development, City of Santa Rosa.
Thank you all. Thank you all. So we're talking about accessory units. We're talking about junior accessory units. So these are basically ways where we can get more people perhaps into affordable housing. Also maybe stretch out the time frame for somebody to live on their property. Mm-hmm. They could rent out the home they've been living in and build another unit on it. They will not necessarily be long-term rentals, though they could be short-term rentals. Is there anything you want to add to that?
No, I think you hit it on the head, and it's an opportunity where we can shape what this looks like, and we want feedback. And I think one of the questions was, how do you provide feedback? On our website, we have contact information there. You can contact us via email or phone. We also have the Planning Commission coming up. So that's going to be an opportunity where the Planning Commission looks through these policies, the land use policies, and weighs in. And they really do appreciate information or input from the public as they make those decisions. And that's going to be coming up in March. We haven't identified the date yet. That's going to, we'll be doing that over the next few weeks. But in March, we'll be going to Planning Commission. And then hopefully in April and May, we'll be at the City Council. So another opportunity for the public to provide input at that point.
But far as right now, so the ordinance is in place today. So is it now in place, or is it being studied, or can somebody go in and do one of these units?
Yeah, so two things. One, the state law is in place as of today, and we have an interim guidance for accessory dwelling units on our website that tells you exactly what you can do as of today. And that's the state law. So that's the 1,200 square foot maximum size, the parking reductions that we talked about, and the water and sewer fee connections. Yeah. What we're proposing to bring to the Planning Commission, there's a red line version of that policy on our website, so you can take a look at what we're proposing to bring forward based on input from the public and what we've learned. And that's what we're looking to implement probably in the May-April timeframe through council.
Great. Yeah,
I printed out the red line version, but I printed out black and white. But it basically shows the existing and then what's proposed.
Correct.
It's really interesting. Yeah. So we'll go ahead and scan these in and put them on our website.
No, they're on the blog and on Facebook, the realestatehourblog.com, and on the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly and Allison Norman, or you can go to srcity.org/housing-action-plan.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. Because I know the City of Santa Rosa website, you have to kind of know what you're looking for when you get there's a lot on there.
He's working on that too. Give him a break. He just got on the job.
No, right? I mean, it's really, you know, go in and explore because there's a lot of stuff. It's a really comprehensive website. There's a lot of stuff on there.
And just so you know, we probably in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be launching a new city website. So it'll be much more user friendly.
Now that I've figured it out.
Slammed it out.
We've heard the feedback loud and clear. It needs work.
It's confusing and it's hard to know where to go to get to that. Yeah. But it's a lot of stuff.
That's not a good website. Yeah.
a lot of good stuff on it.
So let's chat about some other stuff. So here we have this great thing called marijuana.
All right. It's now legal.
It's for us as realtors, it's a royal pain in the tush. Regardless of how you feel about it, I think the passing of it is just going to create more issues than we can imagine. One is how do you tax it, and you guys will figure that out. But also, you know, where do you grow it? If you're a private grower now, and you've got a property out in the country someplace, you want to legitimize it. Where is this city saying it's okay to go?
Yeah, this big issue. So one, the tact we've taken is that the cannabis industry is here and it's thriving. Our approach has been that we don't want to put our head in the sand and assume that it's not here and go away. So what we've done is taken a very proactive approach of finding policies and interim policies that are in place right now that says if you are going to be in the cannabis industry and you're in a commercial market, that we will allow that in industrial areas. So we've identified certain areas of town that cannabis activity is legal and appropriate to go into. And the intent of that is to move the cannabis effort, the activity out of the residential neighborhoods and into where it should be, which any commercial business should be, is in the industrial areas. Mm-hmm. So we're working hard on developing those policies and making sure that people know where that is, what the rules are, that you have to have a building permit, you have to have fire inspections, you have to have seismic inspections, mm-hmm. Everything that any other business has to have. So what we're doing is treating this industry like any other business, but we're mm-hmm. holding them to the same standard as any other business. Mm-hmm. And we've had some success. We've moved some businesses out of certain areas into where they should be. We have about 20 or so applications in process right now. The cultivation is a big question. In the urban city limits, where we don't have big open space, we don't have a lot of outdoor grows. So what we're encouraging people to do is, if they want to grow in the city of Santa Rosa, go into the correct location, which is the industrial areas. And we're seeing larger companies create warehouses that they could subdivide and make smaller units to encourage the smaller independent grows to move into, and again, move out of where they shouldn't be into the right location with regulations, with oversight, and pay taxes.
And so is it primarily indoor grows, or are you seeing areas where, you know, you've got fields of marijuana? I mean,
In Santa Rosa and the city limits, it's all indoor. So we are not allowing any outdoor grows, especially for commercial applications. Any outdoor commercial application will be in the county. The county is working through those policies right now to figure out how to manage, and they actually do have some ordinances in place to manage outdoor cultivation within the county land. We do have a couple tax measures coming up. The county has a tax measure for the unincorporated area coming up on March 7th, and the city will be having a tax measure for just the city of Santa Rosa on March 7th.
Yeah, the state hasn't really figured out how to collect all this money. They're just kind of going through the process.
It's difficult. Yeah, right now it's a cash-based business, and so we're all struggling with how to accept that revenue, and not just from taxes, but permits and fees and other things. It's coming in as cash, and so we have to manage that through our systems, and we're working with the state and others on best practices.
So is there, people that are working for these growers, I mean, we understand a lot of them are paid cash. Now, is when the city gets involved with allowing and permitting this, does the state come in also and say, okay, you're now an employee, mm-hmm. you're the employer?
Mm-hmm. I mean, pay taxes.
If you're getting the right to do business within the city of Santa Rosa limits, you are treated like any other business, and you're paying payroll taxes, you're paying, you're getting your building permits, occupancy, fire inspections. And so that's happening, and we've met with the state Employment Development Department and talked with how they're managing the payroll taxes. It's a lot of money. Yep. There's a lot of people employed in this industry,
and
they're struggling with how to manage that throughout the state of California. But it's something that I know the state treasurer is looking at, how to manage the cash and the banking system within for the cannabis industry within California, and how that ties in with the federal.
Well, we want to sell these guys houses, so we can't really. If an employee comes to us works for a marijuana guy that makes $70,000 a year and it's cash, you're out of luck. So we got to get these guys legitimate. Yeah. Now, as far as the county is concerned, they're looking at more like agricultural intensive zoning.
Correct.
These kind of things. And they're mostly in warehouses. We don't see fields of marijuana yet. Or do you think that may happen in the future?
Not yet. But that's definitely what the outdoor grow is, I think, probably has been seen as the more sustainable approach to growing rather than having it indoor where it's more higher energy, more cost.
Right. What was the is it Fetzer, you said, was just purchased?
Yeah. 3.2 million.
They're going to tear out the vines and we'll see. Well, fields.
The people that bought that, I guess, are do medicinals, so they do the concentrates and all that kind of stuff.
Interesting.
But it's just remarkable because there's so much big limited partnerships that are coming into this county that are all marijuana based, and they have millions of dollars behind them.
Yeah, it's definitely a business. The medical market for medical cannabis is there and it's thriving. And I think that those that understand the rules and the regulations are gonna thrive through this, and we're working.
Is the city gonna look at doing it in order? Because our biggest problem is that if we sell a house, there could be a grower next door.
There's a disclosure. It's a disclosure.
We have know what they're doing. We had some of the two gentlemen from the police department of Santa Rosa came to our meeting and was talking about how they use propane to distill the essence of the marijuana plant. Right. And they've got they see just dozens and dozens of these cans sitting around. And it's like a natural, a hazard out there, not a natural, but a man-made hazard. Is there going to be a thing where eventually these will be identified? Is that something you may be doing?
So one of the things that goes along with this is we provide a compliance pathway. Here's how you can do it legally. Encourage people to move into that system. And if you don't, now we have we'll be using code enforcement efforts to go after those that are doing it illegally in the wrong locations and to get them out of those dangerous situations in neighborhoods and residential areas. Right. And so that's the goal is, to move them out.
Great.
Okay. Well, good. David, it's been a pleasure. Thank
We're
you for
giving
your wealth of information.
thank you.
We appreciate you, everything you're doing for the accessory units. I think that's a smart thing to do. And I know you've got a tough job cut out for you. You've got water, you've got housing, and you've got marijuana to deal with.
So. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, if you get frustrated, you can always smoke a joint, right? So once again, how do they get the information, Ellie?
Yeah, so srcity.org/housing action plan. You can also do the /cannabis. And you can reach David Guen at the city at 707-543-4299. David's going to be at our marketing meeting for any realtors out there talking more about accessory dwelling units.
Great.
This
okay.
Tuesday.
This Tuesday, right. David, thank you very much for
thank
coming.
You.
This
thank
has
you.
Been the Real Estate Hour. I'm Mike Kelly. We'll see you next Sunday.
You've been listening to the longest running real estate talk show in the North Bay, The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly and Allison Norman, the Kelly Norman team. Join Mike and Allison every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for and the ones to avoid. Call in and ask your questions direct. And don't forget to check in daily with the Real Estate Hour's official blog at therealestatehourblog.com. Then listen to the Kelly Norman team on the Real Estate Hour Sunday mornings from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on News Talk 1350 KSIRO.